Welcome to Parents' Perspective. In 1 month, 8-year-old Bobby might go to worship services at 4 different churches, visit with 5 grandmothers, and sleep in his bedroom at 3 different houses. Sometimes he cries because he does not want to move when and where he's expected to. Often this kind of complexity is what happens when children become stepchildren and step-parents are added to families. Children ask why they have to adjust and get along with all these people when their parents could not. Every year, 1 million children are affected by their parents' breakup. From a parent's perspective, how can families best accommodate children's real needs in step-families? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we have guests who can help us address these child-rearing problems that are associated with step-families. Dr. Lee Leslie, Associate Professor of Family Studies at the University of Maryland, is a psychologist and family therapist in private practice. She has 2 children, a 7-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Sherry Asquith, a former elementary school teacher, is a family therapist at the Jewish Social Service Agency of Washington, D.C. She works with parenting groups on a variety of topics. She has 2 sons, 18 and 27, who are half-brothers. The older son also has a stepsister. We're glad to have you with us, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Sherry, how can parents help children prepare for the impact of a family's separation or divorce?
Well, the best way they can help their children prepare is to be well prepared themselves. And for that, they sometimes need help. It's a good idea for parents to talk to children together if they are able to do so, because that is reassuring. But they need to have talked out ahead of time what they will say. It's important for them not to be blaming each other. And sometimes when couples are separating, that is also very difficult. If they can't do that well together, then it's a good idea for the parent who is less angry to tell the children about it. Basically, children need to know 3 things. They need to know what to expect because they're scared. They need to know why this is happening. And they need to be reassured that their parents will continue to love them and to have the same relationship with them. So what to expect involves where they're going to live and who they're going to be with, how often they're going to see each parent. And sometimes that involves parents telling them that they will be going back and forth between 2 parents' houses, but that they will be welcome in both places. And sometimes it involves the parents doing the switching, coming and living with the children, and then living a separate place at other times. One way or the other, it needs to be worked out before they talk to the children or the children pick up that the parents are unsettled about this. Also, they need to tell the children that they will keep them informed as to what is going on at all times. It's a nice idea to tell them shortly before the separation will happen, but not too far before. Children tend, if they are told too far before that this is going to happen, and then it doesn't, to fantasize that the parents have changed their minds and will stay together. Wait for the other shoe to drop. I have a little girl who is in a group that I am working with, and the parents told her 2 to 3 months ago that they will be separating, but they have not done that. And so she has pushed this aside in her mind, and she's not positive that it's going to happen. They also need to reassure the children that it's not their fault. I've never worked with a child who didn't think that he or she had done something to contribute to it, and that they could do something to make it better if they were really, really good. The hard part is when they're really bad, because they've discovered that the parents will talk together when they're bad and will join together to help them. And that's not good for the child. They are caught in the middle. It's important for parents to let children grieve and to cry. Very often, parents are so upset at children's reactions that they cannot handle them. And they try to make them feel happier. They try to give them things that will cheer them up and take them places. It's important to have that crying time, that grieving time. And it's fine for parents to cry, too, and say, this is hard, isn't it? Because children feel reassured then.
There are differences in children's reactions based on age and or gender.
Yes, to both. Mm. Very young children tend not to understand what is happening. Actually, if parents separate before the age of 1, it can almost seem normal to them. It's not terribly difficult, with the exception of bonding kinds of things. Someone that they were terribly used to is not there. The age of 2 or 3 is very hard because children have just gotten used to their world and sure that it's going to be the way that it is, and all of a sudden it shifts. So they have this feeling that you can't count on anything. And you have to reassure them that their parents are still their parents in the same way. They have to see that. And they have to have lots of access to both parents. In elementary school age, and also again in high school, children are needing to pull away from their families and be closer to their peers. And it's very hard to pull away from your family if you think that your mother or father needs you because they're having problems with the separation. So it's important for parents to reassure their children that they are fine. They are sad, but they are fine and they don't need to be taken care of. And to reassure the children that they can still go out and do their own things and be with their friends and that they don't have to be closer to home because parents have separated.
I wanted to jump in and add to what Sherry was saying. I think it's very important to realize that the 9 to 12-year-olds is a very vulnerable age for siding with one parent. Ooh. At that age, we see a good parent, bad parent split. It's dad's fault, mom is the innocent victim. Or it's mom's fault, dad is the innocent victim. And so it's very important for parents at that age not to feed into that. And particularly for parents who may feel like they're the victim, it's really important that they not subtly send those messages of what your father or your mother did to me, because kids begin to side. And it's very hard for them then to look realistically at who each parent is and to go ahead and continue a relationship with each parent.
I'll go into championing counseling for parents when they separate, because you need some support in order not to be able to blame someone else when you have a lot of anger inside you, mm-hmm. or when you're having difficulty with something yourself. You know, maybe the most important thing is to put the child first. If you have a need to get even, it does not outweigh your child's need to think both parents are okay.
Absolutely.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Lee Leslie and Sherry Asquith about stepfamilies. We once had a single mother on our show where she said, my husband and I had to decide that we were running this operation like a business, and we agreed that we wanted our child to be the best possible product we could create, mm-hmm. and therefore we have to cooperate with each other. And at first we thought it was a cold example, but in retrospect, it's really very sensible.
It's a very nice way to put it. My hope is that eventually most people will be able to do what my family has been able to do, and that is we've been able to come together for Thanksgiving and Passovers and be a sort of extended family for each other. My ex-husband's family, I consider my family, and his wife's family, I consider my family, because they are my child's family. And we have all been included in each other's special events, and I think my son has done very well because of that.
This leads right into our next question, which is, how can parents who can't share a home, Sherry, share parenting in a way that's helpful to their children?
It's difficult, and it involves really thinking about the child's needs and putting your own needs second at a time when a parent is very, very vulnerable. There are some ways that they can do it. One is never to blame the other parent, to put the other parent's time with the child as a very important time to the child. I find for younger children it's helpful to put on the refrigerator a calendar colored perhaps with purple for mom's days and green for dad's days or whatever, so that a child can consult at any time and see when they are going someplace. It's also helpful for a parent to normalize that to the child. The hard part comes when there are different rules in different households and parents have difficulties with that. But children actually can have less difficulty if parents don't. They can adjust to two totally different sets of rules in two different households. So it's fine to say when they try to start splitting parents, well, dad says I can do this, to say, you know, that is dad's rule at dad's house and this is my rule at my house. The rule here is this.
Which I guess makes sense, because if a kid goes to school, the rules are different at school than they are at home in many cases.
But the difficulty for many parents is in accepting that their rule isn't the right rule, that mm-hmm. both rules can be fine, that a bedtime of 8 o'clock at one house and 8:30 or 9 at another house isn't the end of the world for a child. A child can adjust. And I absolutely agree with Sherry. The issue is children can adjust to multiple sets of rules as long as they're consistent and as long as they know which rules belong in which setting.
And in some instances, parents are so sure that what they have set up, if it's disturbed at the other parent's house, will really mess the child up. And it's important to draw boundaries there. This is your territory. That's the other parent's territory. And you don't trespass on each other's territory. Another thing that's really important is for parents not to ask probing questions when a child comes back about what is going on in the other household, because parents are really curious. I was certainly curious. But that puts a child in a very awkward position, what to tell, what not to tell. That's too adult a decision for a youngster. It's important for parents to say open-ended things such as, you know, what was the nicest thing that happened this weekend? How was that carnival you were going to go to? And not to judge. Lots of times I see moms or dads who will say, now here's the homework. This needs to be accomplished while you're at your mom's, and it doesn't get done there, and they're very angry. So it's important to draw lines between what happens at each house.
Lee, what kinds of parenting instruction are available to help couples facing these issues?
Well, there are multiple sources that they can check with. It kind of depends on what people like, whether they like to learn through talking, as Sherry said, with therapists. Most community mental health centers offer workshops in single parenting, in step families. They offer support groups, so you can contact community mental health centers. But also there are many associations that are available throughout the country. The Step Family Association of America, the Step Family Network, Parents Without Partners, they all are good sources of both contact support, but also resources. Most of them have book lists. They have question and answer resources that you can access. There are some very good books out there on step parenting. Step Family Realities, How to Overcome Difficulties and Have a Happy Family is a quite good one. The Courage to Be a Stepmother. Lots of good books out there if people like to learn through that method. Let me go ahead and give you the 800 phone numbers for these associations. The Step Family Association of America can be reached at 1-800-735-0329. And you can find them on the web at www.stepfam.org. The Step Family Network can be reached at 1-800-487-1073. And you can find them on the World Wide Web at www.stepfamily.net.
There's also the Step Family Foundation, which can be reached at stepfamilies@aol.com. And their phone number is 212-877-3244. A site that's really important if you have access to a computer is www.geocities.com. And that site is important because it is a site for non-custodial parents to get reassurance and support and information.
That's a group that hasn't been dealt with very much. That's
yeah.
Very helpful. Lee, how can parents help children deal with the burdens of loyalty and guilt?
And I assume you're referring mainly to the loyalty and guilt issues in step families, mm-hmm. which are sometimes overwhelming to kids. I think parents do not recognize how split children often feel around step parenting. I mean, if you look at our literary history, some of the classics are about step families. And I think it's a very important point to realize that children do feel torn. Children's loyalties do feel split. And parents need to reassure them. They need reassurance that they are not in competition for the child's love, that a child can love both their parents, they can love a step parent, that there is not a limited amount of love. But children need to hear that, and they need to be told that even if they're not asking the questions, even if they're not comfortable bringing up with the parents. Parents need to let them know that they are loved by multiple people and that love for one person doesn't diminish love for another. And again, as we talked about issues of age and issues of gender, those issues are going to be different if you're talking to a 4-year-old or if you're talking to a 12-year-old. I think the older the child, typically the more problems that they have, in part because they will play one parent against another. So they both feel the loyalty split, but use the loyalty split. because they know they can make their parents feel guilty. 4-year-olds don't try to do that near as much as 12-year-olds do.
Is this the part of the anger that they're feeling, to try to play the parents off against each other?
I don't know that it's part of the anger. I think it's part of normal adolescent development. All 12-year-olds, all 14-year-olds try to get away with things with their parents. They try to have some power relative to their parents. It's simply that in a step family, they have one avenue that other children don't have. They can say to a step parent, "You're not my real father." Or they can say to a mother, "Dad doesn't make me do this at his house."
I'll jump in and say that one thing parents can say and step parents can say is the rules in this house are, so that it does not become the step parents' rule or the parents' rule or whatever. And the parents need to have that pretty worked out ahead of time.
It takes a lot of negotiation and a lot of talking between the adults in the house to have it clear what message they want to send to the children. But in families where the children are older, they both need to be reassured that they can be loved by multiple people. But they also need clear guidelines that they can't play one person against another.
You know, it helps if the two families are able to talk. Very often a child will come back and say, "Dad said," or "Mom said," and the parent will get very angry. And I often found that when I checked back, what was actually said was something a little bit different from the way that it was presented to me. When children know that their parents are checking back and forth, they're a lot more careful to keep things accurate.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Lee Leslie and Sherry Asquith about stepfamilies. Lee, what suggestions would you have to help families who are blending through a second marriage?
Well, there are many things that would be helpful, but if I had to kind of put them all under one important umbrella, and we can get to some of the specifics later, it would be don't go into it with a set expectation of how the family should function or what the roles would be. Far too often, I think what happens is people go into remarriage or to step families hoping to recreate the intact family. Ooh. This time it's going to be right. We're going to get it right. And so they go in expecting children to treat a new stepfather like dad, or to recreate those kinds of relationships they didn't do successfully or didn't do as well as they would have liked the first time. And I think that sets up all kinds of expectations that simply can't be met and lead to great disappointments and often great feelings of guilt on the children's part.
That may be the reason, I think, why 2 out of 3 second marriages will not work, you know, will separate, because these are very difficult issues and they need to be discussed.
Yes, most people don't realize that there is a higher divorce rate among second marriages.
No, I had no idea.
And the divorces tend to happen faster than they do in first marriages.
Mm-hmm. Well, in first marriages, the reason for marrying and the jobs of getting adjusted after people get married are very different than families where there are already children. And the parents tend to be torn between the allegiance to the new marriage and the allegiance to their child.
The loyalty conflicts don't just exist for the children. They exist for the parents. And I would say in the step families that I've seen, probably the most difficult loyalty conflict is not necessarily the child feeling split between the two parents, although that's often one. It's the loyalty of the biological parent feeling torn between their biological child and their new spouse. So that's a very important loyalty issue that has to be dealt with.
Now, what about a child who's feeling like he doesn't want to leave home to go visit his new stepmother and father, something like that? How do you deal with that? That's a loyalty issue in a way.
It's not a choice. You know, sometimes children do that as a way of saying, you know, "I love you, Mom, I'm not going to Dad's," or "I love you, Dad, I'm not going to Mom's." And it may be reflecting the parents' feelings. But it needs to be presented as not a choice, like going to school is not a choice. You know, these are things that are part of your life and that you do them matter-of-factly. Parents need not to buy into children's excuses for this, and they need to deal with their own feelings about it, because very often moms and dads are rejoicing when child says, I don't want to go to the other home.
I choose you is what they're hearing, mm-hmm. and they like that.
Mm-hmm. And they see it as if a child wants to go to the other house, or if it's okay there, they must be doing something wrong, or mm-hmm. the child wouldn't want to leave.
Let me add that I absolutely agree it should be a matter of fact. This is how we run our family in the larger perspective. But it's also important to try to figure out why is a child saying this at this point in time. And again, it can vary depending on the age of the child. One of the things that's very typical for children 3 to 5 after divorce and when there's a change in the family structure is that they feel a great deal of insecurity, and they simply don't like to move from place to place. It's not so much leaving mom and going to dad. It may be leaving mom and going to the babysitters, but you also will find when you go to pick them up from the babysitters, they don't want to leave the babysitters. They simply don't want to leave where they are. And so to understand that that may be the function or the reason they're behaving this way is really important. Whereas for an older child, that wouldn't be the issue. The issue might be, this is a way to say to mom, I love you if I stay here, or this is a way to get back at dad. So I think it is important to try to talk to the child and find out why they're saying this at this point, but the why doesn't change that you still need to do this.
It's also important to know what to expect of children at different ages. I often recommend the Giselle Institute books, mm-hmm. you know, your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old, mm-hmm. your 4-year-old, because parents are very reassured if they see that this is normal behavior for this age.
That goes for all aspects of parenting,
right.
Just to know what's normal.
We'd like to address this to each of you. If there's one suggestion for parents to help their children and stepchildren, what would that be?
Certainly, I would reiterate what I've said, but I think it really is important, which is to work out the family structure and the roles that work for your family. There is no hard and fast model of what is the best step family. A step family in which the biological parent and their spouse agree on the rules, but the rules are only enforced by the biological parent can work just fine if everybody understands that that's the system here. There's a lot more flexibility in roles and responsibilities possible in a step family than in an intact first family. And I think far too often step families limit themselves by saying we have to do it this way. This is the way families operate. And I think the example you gave, Sherry, is beautiful of how your families have incorporated other members from outside. I'm sure you've gotten responses from people sometime that, how could you do that? I don't know if I could have Passover with my ex, you know. Mm. So that they've bought into a really narrow view of who is in your family. And if you go into step families with a much more flexible view, it opens a lot of doors and people aren't as limited.
That's important not to define what a step family is, what a marriage is before you go into it. And I'm going to reiterate what you said before. It's real important not to expect it to be mm-hmm. like an intact first family, not to expect it to correct all the problems that happened in the first marriage. Because that leads to heartbreak.
Sherry, what is your view of the argument that parents should stay together for the sake of the children?
Depends on the parents, and it depends on what they need. What we know from research is that children do better when there is less conflict. So a conflicted marriage is not as good as a calmer separation. In some instances, parents can work it out to stay together for the sake of the children. If they both have their own lives and they both have their own interests and they are not expecting things for each other, but they would like to parent together, sometimes they can do a good job of that. Otherwise, I think it can be important not to stay together if they cannot be calm about it.
I'd like to reiterate what Sherry said. The key issue, I think, is the level of conflict. And far too often what I see happen is parents divorce and simply continue the level of conflict in 2 separate homes, which does nothing for the child. If the divorce is going to decrease the level of tension and decrease the level of conflict that a child is living with, then it may be advantageous for the child. However, if simply the child will continue to live in a conflictual environment, nothing is accomplished by the divorce.
One thing that's helpful is that in many counties and cities, the government will require, in order to get a divorce, you must have a certain amount of mediation and education on children's reaction to divorce. And that's terribly important. That's helpful.
Well, speaking of helpful, we hope families facing some of these issues will have learned as much as we have today. We appreciate both of your being here and all the help that you've given. Our gift for caller number two on our listeners' poll is an autographed copy of our new book, Parents as Mentors, A New Perspective on Parenting That Can Change Your Child's Life. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 to answer the following question. What has been most constructive for your family of step-parents and children?
We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors, so call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. You can also reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email to parentspur@aol.com. Or to learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.